Thinking More Clearly, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, my Vice Chairman of the Institute, fellow analyst, great friend, and presuppositional thinker, at least when he's awake, Chuck Michaelis.
And I'm really glad we're covering these topics today because it really is such a joy once you see people begin to adopt these things and start to think clearly and coherently about the world around them. Because right now, one of the plagues in America is that people aren't thinking clearly and coherently about the world. That's really we live in a schizophrenic world where people think contradictory things all the time. And we're hoping that we have some kind of an effect on people consciously attempting to be consistent in their worldview.
Exactly. And see, that's the whole point, Chuck, because the only way that we're going to be strengthened as believers, the only way we're going to take back a country that's based upon the foundation of absolute truth, and we've talked about this numerous times about how our founders thought and what they believed, and the fact that, yes, we were formed as a Christian nation, and there's really no doubt about it. And we're going to have to get back to thinking like Christians. We're going to have to get back to thinking clearly, not thinking with our emotions. And I'm not talking about just being cold and analytical and logical all the time either, you know, what they call the frozen chosen.
Right.
We Presbyterians get talked about like that all the time, and that's fine. But the point is not just going on our emotions or going on just the data that's being fed to us by the mass media, by those things in our culture, but going back first and foremost, because honestly, the basis of presuppositional thinking is getting your own stinking thinking corrected. In other words, going back and doing that man in the mirror approach, where you're taking a real good, long, hard look and a gut check as what I truly believe. How are my actions, how I'm living my life, how I'm raising my family, how I'm conducting my business, how I'm voting, how does that all line up with what I profess that I believe? And if we can't do that, or those things are out of whack, it's a presupposition issue. We've got bad presupposition somewhere. We're accepting a false philosophy, a vain thought, or idolatry of some sort, and we've melded that in and tried to make an amalgam. We've tried to say, here's absolute truth and here's falsehood. Let's see how we can get them to work together in my life.
What's the term? Compartmentalization.
Well, yeah, compartmentalization is one of the key terms.
Yeah.
But the big problem is we know that, honestly, God's over top of the whole thing. And I don't care how many compartments you want to try to carve yourself into.
That's right.
He's seeing you as a whole. And he's acting on you as a whole. And we have to be willing to come to him in repentance for those areas that we've not, as the scripture demands us to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, folks. Not just those ones that we think of when we're in church.
Yeah.
Not just those warm and fuzzy thoughts when we're doing missions work. It's every thought. It's the thought of, are our business practices ethical? It's a thought of, am I actually training my kids or am I letting the culture train my children? It's, am I washing my wife with water, with the word, or am I letting the culture drown her with bad ideas? These are all the things we got to deal with, because judgment begins in the house of God. Cleaning up our thinking needs to begin here too.
And that's absolutely correct. And this is one of the things why we're doing this show today. Why, for instance, we are involved heavily, and I'm the executive director of Camp American. We are doing our best to instill in the 1 week that we get kids, the six actual days that we have the children at our camp, we're doing our best to instill our Christian worldview and tell them how to think consistently about the things, that the questions that they are dealing with. And the fact is, we have a lot of homeschool kids, but we also have public school kids, and they are often the most conflicted. And the reason they're the most conflicted is because they're getting worldview training at home and at church, and they're getting worldview training at school. And the worldview training they're getting at school is very often very, very different than the worldview training they're getting at home and at church.
You know, Chuck, though, and this is a two-edged sword kind of thing, because in some instances, it's not any different.
Unfortunately, that's true.
And that can go both ways. It can be great because the family's instilling good values and the church is instilling good values, and they have them in an educational environment that's instilling those good values. Or They've got them in a bad educational environment, which is being supported by a church that's abandoned its responsibility to be a church, and parents who have decided that anybody else except them has the responsibility for their children.
And that's also bottom line, but there is a presuppositional issue there, and that is that somehow parents in this culture, even good Christian people, have gotten the presupposition that it's the state's job to educate their children is one, and the underlying presupposition is that experts have to do the job, and I'm not smart enough to teach my children. Well, the fact is, there's very little that the average person can't do to teach their child and do a better job of it than the public school does. I know a lot of people that get really uptight when it comes to math and science. You'd be surprised, really, what you can do in those areas, and when you can't, that's why you join a co-op.
Well, because, and what we usually tell parents, because I'm involved in a homeschool association, what you usually tell parents who are experiencing homeschooling for the first time is, honestly, you don't have to know everything. You just have to stay at least one lesson ahead of your students and prepare.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you, for some reason, because of your life situation or whatever it might be, that you just can't do that in those particular lesson areas, that's why we have homeschool co-ops and homeschool associations, so that everybody can share best practices. I know in ours, everybody trades around CDs and things of various math programs that they found to help their kids. And so it's all good.
But the bottom line is that the presuppositions are bad.
Yes.
And as we've talked about, there are invalid presuppositions behind virtually every bit of logical fallacy or wrong thinking. Now, I don't want to come out and say, you have to see it my way, or and that's that thing we talked about the first day, I think, that we presuppose that all our presuppositions are correct. And there are people who just really don't feel comfortable with that. Just be aware that your children are getting more than reading, writing, and arithmetic in school.
That's correct.
And even in arithmetic, I can remember reading some of the word problems that my kids would bring home, and I'm like, wow, nothing like instilling a socialist worldview in a word problem. And the fact is, there are different kinds of worldviews that you can instill very easily in simply a simple math problem.
Well, you know, we've had these fights and struggles over curriculum for years. Rainforest math, you know, or new math, where you're actually not learning any math skills, but you certainly are getting a healthy dose of environmentalism 101.
Yeah, basically, you're learning green math, which is basically how $50 billion put into a company that goes bankrupt was a good investment. Sorry, guys. No, that's a bad investment no matter how you look at it.
No matter how you slice it.
And look, the environmental movement. This year at Camp American, we're bringing in Dr. Michael Kaufman. There are so many bad presuppositions in the environmental movement, and one of them is the fact that we can do something to affect our climate.
Well, the only thing I can think of we can do to affect our climate is move to a warmer one.
Yes. If you want warmer, move south.
That's right.
If you like cold, move north. But the fact is that there are a lot of really bad presuppositions, and we're attempting to combat it that way.
Yes.
I've taught logical fallacy, where we attempt to teach children, and I've been told that that class has had more of an effect on people than I could possibly have realized. There are people who told me, said, I got through college because I was able to use that crummy little class, the two-hour class that you taught on fallacy detection, and I was just able, it made me able to think clearly. And I'm like, that's exactly what I wanted. This is something you have to train yourself to do.
Yes.
It does not come naturally.
No, well,
Some of us have more of a natural inclination than others.
The things of God are alien to the natural man. He can't understand them.
That's right. And some of it is going to be painful, because what it does is it will bring you to the point where you begin to ask people questions, and they will begin to, they'll rebel against the fact that you are asking these questions. And you're really, in most cases, it's not an adversarial kind of thing. Someone will say something, and you will ask them, okay, you need to explain that to me.
Exactly. And you're not doing it in a confrontational or combative way. You're basically just saying, there's something about that that doesn't seem to ring valid. Help unpack that and help me understand what you're trying to say.
Let's do an example.
Sure.
If you hear the phrase, everybody knows that, ... Well, now, wait a minute. Everybody doesn't know that.
Because I didn't know it, and I'm part of everybody. That's right.
That argument really has two philosophical underpinnings.
Yes.
One is a fallacy called the appeal to popular opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And two is the fact that popular opinion can't be wrong. The underlying presupposition is a populist idea that God doesn't set the rules. Everybody else sets the rules. And therefore, if everybody wants it that way, that's the way it is. That's sort of what's going on in parts of the church with certain elements of, well, for instance, homosexual marriage, churches that accept homosexual marriage. God's word is irrelevant on this. Well, and the fact is that the majority of people want it. And so therefore, we're going to have it.
Let me just throw a phrase out there, Chuck. It's called the democratization of truth.
Exactly.
In other words, we've decided that as long as 50% plus one decide that this is a good thing, we're all going to run after it. Well, you know, we've seen that before. It was all the times that Israel ran away from God and started worshiping idols and putting up groves and worshiping false gods and passing their children through the fire to Baal. And you just are getting to a point of, well, if democracy is horrible for a governance, it's equally horrible for self-governance, which is what presuppositional thinking really is. It's, okay, what's your constitution look like?
Yes.
What's your constitution? Your self-guided, is your self-evident truth?
Yeah, let's talk about that word. Not the United States Constitution. The Constitution is what you are made up of.
Yes.
And that's what Barry means by that phrase. What is your Constitution?
What is your Constitution? Yes.
And the fact is, when someone asks that question and says, everybody knows that, ... you would say, now you need to prove that to me.
And you can even say that in the sense that, well, it's like, first of all, the question that I think you and I both ask people, which usually gets their hackles up, is, can you document that?
Yeah, or says who, basically. I call that the says who question, because I've been known to put it that way, and it's really not the right way to put it. You say,
that's true.
Can you document it is a much better way,
yes.
But when sometimes in the heat of the moment, you say, okay, says who? Who's your authority on that? And that's a real big question in presuppositional thinking. Who is your authority?
In other words, who are you relying on for your truth?
That's right.
Boy, that's the one that really starts, I mean, even for Christians, that starts rubbing them wrong.
Yes, it does.
But honestly, folks, we need to be rubbed wrong. Because if our thinking is wrong in this, God needs to wear that down in order to polish us, to get us to look to be what he wants us to be.
Well, one of the things, I don't like Henry Blackaby much with the whole experience in God thing, but one of the things I got out of that class when I took it and taught it years ago was the idea that the truth is a person.
Okay.
And that person is God.
Yes.
God is truth.
Yes.
Anyone who uses an authority other than God as their basis for truth
Has another God. Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And that gets us back around to what I said a little bit earlier about idols.
Exactly.
And that gets us down to the point of, I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to be careful about mental idolatry. We have to be careful. And if people say, oh, this is just too much, this is too tough for me. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Because what you do is you start in a small area of your life.
Right.
Start small. Wrestle with those presuppositions. Go to God's word. See what his truth actually says about it. Not what you think you know what it says. Not what you've heard a pastor say. Not what you've heard Chuck and I sitting here flapping our gums saying that it says. Go to God's word. Look at it. Read it in context. Because I don't want you to eisegete a passage. Because that's the presuppositional problem that I have with a lot of people, is that they grab what they call a theme verse.
Yes.
And they run their entire life by one verse, not understanding that that verse God never intended one verse to stand alone.
Right.
It's in the context of a holistic whole, which is called the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation.
Non-contextual proof texting.
Is very dangerous. Yes. Is extremely dangerous. So find that one little area.
And you know what?
And be honest about it. And when you wrestle down to it and you realize if this is true, if you realize that you have been wrong in this area, repent.
Yeah.
Repent to God, change, and you'll start seeing that fruit will grow, that seed will grow, and you'll be able to go ahead and then you'll be able to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. But you got to start with one.
Yep. Okay. We are, once again, out of time. And we thank you for being with us, and we hope that you join us tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.